Yeah, it's probably because I've changed to a different computer. Hopefully, it will not stream in. Hello, everyone. Let me get everything streaming. We'll get started here. That's streaming. It's streaming. Yes, I'm good to go. Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul. And tonight, we're going to study Paper 180, The Farewell Discourse. This is right after the Last Supper. And that's paper 180-01 of page 1944 of the original book. So that's where we're starting. So up here. That's me, The Farewell Discourse. Paper 180, The Farewell Discourse. After singing the psalm at the conclusion of the Last Supper, the apostles thought that Jesus intended to return immediately to the camp, but he indicated they should sit down, said the master. Gary, would you give us a start tonight?
Okay. You well remember when I sent you forth without purse or wallet, and even advised you to take with you no extra clothes. And you will all recall that you lacked nothing. But now have you come upon troublous times. No longer can you depend upon the goodwill of the multitudes. Henceforth, he who has a purse, let him take it with him. When you go out into the world to proclaim this gospel, make such provisions for your support as seems best. I have come to bring peace, but it will not appear for a time.
Give me just one second.
Boy, he's a patient man. It's been 2,000 years.
Yeah, really. Okay. Let's keep going. Pam, would you take the next? Can you? Oops, I lost you. Well, Rodney, would you take the next?
I can hardly hear you, Roger.
Your voice is garbled, Roger.
It seems way off in the distance.
Let me bring it a little closer. How's that? Is it any better?
No.
No, not really,
No.
but
Let me see if we look over here. Is that any better?
Maybe.
You know what's going on? Might be my internet connection too.
It sounds a little better.
Does it? Okay.
Do you want Pamela to read this or me?
Yeah, Payton, would you take this one?
Sure. The time has now come for the Son of Man to be glorified, and the Father shall be glorified in me. My friends, I am to be with you only a little longer. Soon you will seek for me, but you will not find me, for I am going to a place to which you cannot at this time come. But when you have finished your work on earth, as I have now finished mine, you shall then come to me, even as I now prepare to go to my Father. In just a short time, I am going to leave you. You will see me no more on earth, but you shall all see, which my Father has given to me.
Says my internet connection is unstable. That's why I sound wrong.
Really, huh?
Okay.
So he's talking
Yes.
about his universe,
That's
his
right. He's
kingdom.
talking about his universe, right? He's fixing and go back to the work that he started, the universe. So his work on Earth is just about done. That means the seventh, the stone, right? Okay, that's what it's about here. All right, the new command. Rodney, would you take this?
Yes, one, the new commandment. After a few moments of informal conversation, Jesus stood up and said, "When I enacted for you a parable indicating how you should be willing to serve one another, I said that I desired to give you a new commandment. And I would do this now as I'm about to leave you. You well know the commandment which directs that you love one another, that you love your neighbor even as yourself. But I'm not wholly satisfied with even that sincere devotion on the part of my children. I would have you perform still greater acts of love in the kingdom of the believing brotherhood. And so I give you this new commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. And by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you thus love one another."
So by loving others, you show the world that you're silent. Jesus.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty powerful. When I give you this new commandment, I do not place any new burden upon your souls. Rather, I do bring you new joy and make it possible for you to experience new pleasure in knowing the delights of the bestowal of your heart's affection upon your fellow man. And I am about to experience this supreme joy, and even though enduring outward sorrow in the bestowal of my affection upon you and your fellow mortals. Who's talking about what's about to come? All right.
The supreme joy.
Supreme joy, Gary.
When I invite you to love one another, even as I have loved you, I hold up before you the supreme measure of true affection. For greater love can no man have than this, that he will lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends. You will continue to be my friends if you are but willing to do what I have taught you. You have called me master, but I do not call you servants. If you will only love one another as I am loving you, you shall be my friends, and I will ever speak to you of that which the Father reveals to me.
So you true friends, Jesus, right? Gary, I mean, what?
Me? Okay. You have not merely chosen me, but I've also chosen you, and I've ordained you to go forth into the world to yield the fruit of loving service to your fellows, even as I have lived among you and have revealed the Father to you. The Father and I will both work with you, and you shall experience the divine fullness of joy if you will only obey my command to love one another, even as I have loved you.
That's the main command that KPM.
If you would share the master's joy, you must share his love. And to share his love means that you have shared his service. Such an experience of love does not deliver you from the difficulties of this world. It does not create a new world, but it most certainly does make the old world new.
Amen.
Y'all notice it doesn't get rid of the difficulties of this world.
That's
So,
right.
yeah, it doesn't become a life of ease or anything like that, right? Got two different trainings supposed to range differently. Okay, Gary, would you take the next question?
Keep in mind, it is loyalty, not sacrifice, that Jesus demands. Consciousness of sacrifice implies the absence of that wholehearted affection which would have made such a loving service a supreme joy. The idea of duty signifies that you are servant-minded and hence are missing the mighty thrill of doing your service as a friend and for a friend. The impulse of friendship transcends all conviction of duty, and the service of a friend for a friend can never be called a sacrifice. The Master has taught the apostles that they are the sons of God. He has called them brethren, and now before he leaves, he calls them his friends.
So the duty you do to God is not a sacrifice of your time. It's a joy and duty of love. That's hard for us to remember. Vine and the branches. Then Jesus looked up again and continued teaching his apostles. I am the true vine, and the Father is the husbandman. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The Father requires of me only that you shall bear much fruit. The vine is pruned only to increase the fruitfulness of its branches. Every branch coming out of me which bears no fruit, the Father will take away. Every branch which bears fruit, the Father will cleanse, and that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean through the word I have spoken, but you must continue to be clean and must abide in me and I in you. The branch will die if it is separated from the vine, as the branch cannot bear fruit except it abides in the vine. So neither can you yield the fruit of love and service except you abide in me. Remember, I am the real vine, and you are the living branches. He who lives in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit of the Spirit and experience the supreme joy of yielding the spiritual harvest. If you will maintain this living spiritual connection with me, you will bear abundant fruit. If you abide in me and my words live in you, you will be able to commune freely with me, and then can my living spirit so infuse you that you, whatever you may ask, so whatsoever my spirit wills, and do all this with the assurance that the Father will grant us our petition. Herein is the Father glorified, that the branch, that the vine has many living branches, and that every branch bears much fruit. And when the world sees this fruit-bearing branches, my friends who love one another, even as I have loved them, all men will know that you are truly my disciples. That's how people know you're a follower or a believer. All right, Rodney, would you take the next?
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Live in my love, even as I live in the Father's love. If you do as I have taught you, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's word and evermore abide in his love.
All will abide within the word of him. Right, would you take the next?
The Jews had long taught that the Messiah would be a stem arising out of the vine of David's ancestors. And in commemoration of this olden teaching, a large emblem of the grape and its attached vine decorated the entrance to Herod's temple. The apostles all recalled these things while the master talked to them this night in the upper chamber.
This is really a continuation of this Hebrew teaching, right? Right. Gary, you take the next.
With great sorrow, after attending the misinterpretation of the master's influences regarding prayer, there would have been little difficulty about these teachings if his exact words had been remembered and subsequently truthfully recorded. But as the record was made, believers eventually regarded prayer in Jesus' name as a sort of supreme magic, thinking that they would receive from the Father anything they asked for. For centuries, honest souls have continued to wreck their faith against this stumbling block. How long will it take the world of believers to understand that prayer is not a process of getting your way, but rather a process of taking God's way and experience of learning how to recognize and execute the Father's will? It is eternally true that when your will has been truly aligned with His, you can speak anything conceived by that will union, and it will be granted. And such a will union is affected by and through Jesus's, even as the life of the vine flows into and through the living branches.
I think direct connection to God.
Basically, you're saying if you're praying for something, you're not going to get it. It's not a Christmas tree, Christmas time.
It's not magic. It's not Christmas. It's only those things that are within the will of God Father.
It's
When there
spiritual.
exists spiritual, this when there is this living connection between divinity and humanity. This is going crazy. If humanity would thoughtlessly and ignorantly pray for selfish needs and vainglorious accomplishments, there could be only one divine answer, more and increased bearing of the fruits of the spirits and the stems of the living branches. When the branch of the vine is alive, there can only be one answer to all its conditions and increased great bearing. In fact, the branch exists only for and can do nothing except fruit bearing, yielding grapes. So does the true believer exist only for the purpose of bearing the fruits of the Spirit, to love man as he himself has been loved by God, and that which we should love one another even as Jesus has loved us. Tell you what, they just about beat this to death, don't they?
Yeah, but it's good.
Yeah. Rodney, would you take the next?
And when the Father's hand of discipline is laid upon the vine, it is done in love, in order that the branches may bear much fruit. And a wise husbandman cuts away only the dead and fruitless branches.
Dead now, right? Peter, you just hit the beast.
Jesus had great difficulty in leading even his apostles to recognize that prayer is a function of spirit-born believers in the spirit-dominated kingdom.
And that's what it all should be, right? Nothing
Very
else.
spiritual.
Very spiritual. That's right. Gary.
I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
He seems to be saying that the branch that does not bear fruit will be pruned.
Yes.
And over the centuries, I think it's various divisions of the Christian world has been pruned off because it did not bear fruit. And
That's
that does
true.
make sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? When you think about it, think about all the things, even in our day and time, where these preachers go after money, 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 right? And eventually, that period, they might be prosperous for a short period of time, but that always does what? It comes to an end, but they've been pruned off sooner or later. So that's just the way it works. Gary, would you stick with me?
Okay. The enmity of the world. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Enmity. Yeah. Okay.
Enmity. Yeah.
Enmity.
Thank
Enmity.
you.
Okay. Whatever that means. Okay. The 11 had
And that's
scarcely
plain.
ceased their discussion of the discourse on the vine and the branches when the master, indicating that he was desirous of speaking to them further and knowing that his time was short, said, When I have left you, be not discouraged by the enmity of the world. Be not downcast, even when faint-hearted believers turn against you and join hands with the enemies of the kingdom. If the world shall hate you, you should recall that it hated me even before it hated you. If you were of this world, then would the world love its own. But because you are not, the world refuses to love you. You are in this world, but your lives are not of this world like. I have chosen you out of the world to represent the spirit of another world, even to this world from which you have been chosen. But always remember the words I have spoken to you. The servant is not greater than his master. Even if they dare to persuade me, they
Persecute.
first
Persecute.
persecute me. They, well, hold on a second. They will also persecute you. If my words offend the unbelievers, so also will your words offend the ungodly. And all of this will they do to you because they believe not in me nor in him who sent me. So will you suffer many things to the sake for the sake of the gospel. But then you endure these tribulations. You should recall that I also suffered before you for the sake of the gospel of the heavenly kingdom.
Do you notice how fickle the world is,
How
right? One
what?
day at lunch, I said, "Did you ever notice how fickle the world is? One day it loves you, and the next day you're nobody again." Okay. If you want an example of that, look at all the stars. You know, when we were growing up, you had all these people that were stars on TVs and movies, and when they got older and got ready to die, they faded away, and people forgot them quickly, didn't they? Okay,
Nope.
because the world is fickle. They went on to the next greatest thing. And that's the way the world is. It gets enamored by things that are not permanent at all. And these are not spiritual things. And so just keep that in mind as you study this stuff. Many of those who will sell you are ignorant of the light of heaven. But this is not true of some who now persecute us. If we had not taught them the truth, they might do many strange things without falling under condemnation, but now, since they have known the light and presume to reject it, they have no excuse for their attitude. He who hates me hates my Father. It cannot be otherwise. The light which saved you, if accepted, can only condemn you if you knowingly reject it. And what I have done to these men, that they should hate me in such a terrible hatred, nothing save to offer them fellowship on earth, salvation in heaven. But you have not read, have you not read in the scripture the saying, and they hated me without a cause? And that's exactly what they did to Jesus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hated him without a cause. Rodney.
But I will not leave you alone in the world. Very soon, after I have gone, I will send you a spirit helper. You shall have with you one who will take my place among you, one who will continue to teach you the way of truth, who will even comfort you.
That's the spirit of truth, right? They poured out a cross. Pam, would you take the news?
Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Continue to believe also in me. Even though I must leave you, I will not be far from you. I have already told you that in my Father's universe, there are many tarrying places. If this were not true, I would not have repeatedly told you about them. I am going to return to these worlds of light, stations in the Father's heaven, to which you shall sometime ascend. From these places I came into this world. And the hour is now at hand when I must return to my Father's work in the spheres on high.
You notice here it says places. It doesn't say mansions, does it?
All right.
All right. I wanted to point that out in the Bible. They approach it as mansions. All right. Gary, would you take the next?
If I thus go before you into the Father's heavenly kingdom, so will I surely send for you that you may be with me in the places that are prepared for the mortal sons of God before this world was. Even though I must leave you, I will be present with you in spirit, and eventually you shall be with me in person when you have ascended to me in my universe, even as I am about to ascend to my Father in his greater universe. And what I have told you is true and everlasting. Even though you may not totally comprehend it, I go to the Father and through you. And though you cannot now follow me, you shall certainly follow me in the ages to come.
Not fully comprehend it, so he said. Let's go on. When Jesus sat down, Thomas arose and said, "Master, we do not know where you are going. So of course we do not know the way, but we will follow you this very night if you show us the way." I think there's your typical thing, right?
Doubting Thomas.
Yeah.
When Jesus heard
Describing.
Thomas, he answered, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except through me. All who find the Father first find me. If you know me, you know the way to the Father, and you do know me, for you have lived with me, and you now see me."
This is where I always come back to this very quote that you can't get to the mansion world past that first mansion world without recognizing Jesus, can you?
But this teaching was too deep for many of the apostles, especially for Philip, who, after speaking a few words with Nathanael, arose and said, "Master, show us the Father, and everything you have said will be made plain."
They still do not understand. All right, Gary, you take this.
And when Philip had spoken, Jesus said, "Philip, I have been so long with you, and yet you do not even know me. Again, do I declare, he who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you then say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Have I not told you that the words which I speak are not my words, but the words of the Father? I speak for the Father and not for myself. I am in this world to do the Father's will, and that I have done. My Father abides in me and works through me. Believe me when I say that the Father is in me and that I am in the Father, or else believe me for the sake of every life I have lived, for the
Yeah.
work's sake." What's that
What's he
last?
talking about? He's talking about all six other souls, the other
Okay,
lives he had lived.
all righty,
All right. Got that?
The
Yeah,
second, I got it. I was, it
if
just,
you understand the process, then all this becomes clear. It's not a mystery anymore.
yeah, I just got my thing confused with the reincarnation on this earth, and I
Yeah.
forgot about the bestowals he did to get to earth.
Yeah, before he came. As the master went aside to refresh himself with water, the 11 engaged in a spirited discussion of these teachings, and Peter was beginning to deliver himself in an extended speech when Jesus returned and beckoned them to be seated. Peter just loved to preach, didn't he? Kind of like me. All right. Rodney.
For the promised helper, Jesus continued to teach, saying, "When I've gone to the Father, and after he has fully accepted the work I have done for you on earth, and after I have received the final sovereignty of my own domain, I shall say to my father, having left my children alone on earth, it is in accordance with my promise to send them another teacher. And when the Father shall approve, I will pour out the Spirit of truth upon all flesh. Already is my Father's Spirit in your hearts. And when this day shall come, you will also have me with you, even as you now have the Father. This new gift is the Spirit of living truth. The unbelievers will not at first listen to the teachings of this Spirit, but the sons of light will all receive him gladly and with a whole heart. And you shall know this Spirit when he comes, even as you have known me, and you will receive this gift in your hearts, and he will abide with you. You thus perceive that I'm not going to leave you without help and guidance. I will not leave you desolate. Today, I can be with you only in person. In the times to come, I will be with you and all other men who desire my presence, wherever you may be, and with each of you at the same time. Do you not discern that it is better for me to go away, that I leave you in the flesh, so that I may the better and the more fully be with you in the spirit?
Way you can do that is to die. Do not die. Right? That's the only way you can do that. Hang on, just a moment.
In just a few hours, the world will see me no more, but you will continue to know me in your hearts, even until I send you this new teacher, the Spirit of Truth. As I have lived with you in person, then shall I live in you. I shall be one with your personal experience in the spirit kingdom. And when this has come to pass, you shall surely know that I am in the Father, and that while your life is hid with the Father in me, I am also in you. I have loved the Father and have kept his word. You have loved me, and you will keep my word. As my Father has given me of his spirit, so will I give you of my spirit. And this spirit of truth, which I will bestow upon you, shall guide and comfort you, and shall eventually lead you into all truth.
And that's true. Spirit of the Truth will be our guide all the way to the Isle of Paradise
That's exactly right.
and maybe beyond.
Yeah, Gary.
I am telling you these things while I am still with you, that you may be the better prepared to endure those trials which are even now right upon you. And when this new day comes, you will be indwelled by the Son as well as by the Father. And these gifts of heaven will ever work the one with the other, even as the Father and I have wrought on earth and before you, even I, before your very eyes, as one person, the Son of Man. And this spirit, friend, will bring to your remembrance everything I have taught you. It's going to be an internet.
As the master paused for a moment, Judas Alpheus may be able to ask one of the few questions which either he or his brother ever addressed to Jesus in public. Said Judas, Master, you have always lived among us as a friend. How shall we know when you are no longer manifest yourself to save by the Spirit? If the world sees you not, how shall we be certain about you? How will we know ourselves to How will you show yourselves to us? Rodney.
Jesus looked down upon them all, smiled, and said, "My little children," gonna put this into easier words. "I'm going away, going back to the Father. In a little while, you will not see me as you do here, as flesh and blood. In a very short time, I'm going to send you my spirit, just like me, except for this material body. This new teacher is the spirit of truth, who will live with each one of you in your hearts. And so will all the children of light be made one and be drawn toward one another. And in this very manner will my Father and I be able to live in the souls of each one of you, and also in the hearts of all other men who love us, and make that love real in their experiences by loving one another, even as I am now loving you."
Now, I want to make something clear here.
Yeah.
The spirit of truth was poured out on all flesh, right? Everyone. Not just believers, everyone. But you can choose to reject the light of the spirit of truth.
Yep.
Okay? If you choose to go against the will of God over and over and over in your life and reject the message of Jesus, you can refuse that spirit's influence in your life. Does that make sense? We make sure that's clear. It's all free will. All right. Pim, you take the next.
Judas, Alpheus, did not fully understand what the master said, but he grasped the promise of the new teacher, and from the expression on Andrew's face, he perceived that his question had been satisfactorily answered.
It's because he was simple-minded that he still got it, right? All right. Gary, did you take this?
Five, the Spirit of Truth. The new helper, which Jesus promised to send into the hearts of believers to pour out upon all flesh, is the Spirit of Truth. This divine endowment is not the letter or law of truth, right? Neither is it to function as the form or expression of truth. The new teacher is the conviction of truth, the consciousness and assurance of true meaning on real spiritual levels. And this new teacher is the spirit of living and growing truth, expanding, unfolding, and adaptively truth.
Each and every one of us individually, so each and every one of us, it's going to be a good one.
So it's a kind of a, it's not a black and white. It
No.
is an evolving
It's
truth
truth individually. Yeah.
as we evolve. And
That's right. As we
I got a
grow, the
question about it.
truth
Now, you
grows.
just
Yeah.
said if you was a Jew, okay, would you reject Jesus? Would the Spirit of Truth come to you? Or what if
Yeah,
you
but
What
whether
if
you
you
took
didn't love
advantage of
religion?
you that or not is up to you.
Okay, so so the other religions have the same, the probability of them accepting it is not very good, is it?
Sometimes it's not because they get comfortable in their own beliefs and their own ways of doing things, so they block out the truth of Jesus.
Their own will.
Their own will. Yeah, it's a will thing. Their
And I
own
got it.
willful decisions.
The more I think about this, it is truly becoming an individual thing because, like the Jews believe in Jesus as a minor prophet. But as the, it evolves in your mind or your spirit, I don't know how to express it, you can either accept it or reject it, regardless, not. realizing it belongs to a certain sect. For instance, a Muslim could do the same as a Jew or as a Christian. So therefore, it's an individual choice. And since God respects our choices, it's up to us.
That's right. It's always up to us. Divine truth is a spirit discerned and living reality. Truth exists only on high spiritual levels of the realization of divinity and the consciousness of communion with God. You can know the truth and you can live the truth. You can experience the growth of truth in the soul and enjoy the liberty of its enlightenment in the mind, but you cannot imprison the truth in formulas, codes, creeds, or intellectual patterns of human conduct. When you undertake the human formulation of divine truth, it speedily dies. Postmortem salvage of imprisoned truth, even at best, even eventuate only in the realization of a peculiar form of intellectualized, glorified wisdom. Static truth is dead truth. Y'all get that? Static truth is dead truth. And only dead truth can be held as a theory. Living truth is dynamic and can enjoy only an experiential existence in the human mind. So it is constantly changing because our experience of each and every one of us is constantly changing.
As we grow
As we grow, Rodney,
and
you take the
degrow.
next one. That's right.
Intelligence grows out of a material existence which is illuminated by the presence of the cosmic mind. Wisdom comprises the consciousness of knowledge elevated to new levels of meaning and activated by the presence of the universe endowment of the adjutant of wisdom. Truth is a spiritual reality value experienced only by spirit-endowed beings who function upon super material levels of universe consciousness, and who, after the realization of truth, permitted spirit of activation to live and reign within their souls.
It's that choice again, right? You have to choose it. Damn, would you take the next?
The true child of universe insight looks for the living spirit of truth in every wise saint. The God-knowing individual is constantly elevating wisdom to the living truth levels of divine attainment. The spiritual unprogressive soul is all the while dragging the living truth down to the dead levels of wisdom and to the domain of mere exalted knowledge.
It's not living when it gets there, is it? Not
Right.
growing it. Yeah. Right. You're Terry.
The golden rule, when divested of the superhuman insight of the spirit of truth, becomes nothing more than a rule of high ethical conduct. The golden rule, when literally interpreted, may become the instrument of great offense to one's fellow. Without a spiritual discernment of the golden rule of wisdom, you might reason that since you are desirous that all men speak the full and frank truth of their minds to you, you should therefore fully and frankly speak the full thought of your mind to your fellow beings. Such an unspiritual interpretation of the golden rule might result in untold unhappiness and no end to of sorrow.
That's right. Watch your mouth.
Watch your mouth. Yeah.
So
Control your
what
thoughts.
exactly is he saying there?
He's saying that if you go around uncontrolled speaking out everything that you believe and think and all that, you're going to offend other people because their moral values and their consciousness of what the golden rule would interpret is going to be totally different. Okay, so it's going to be offensive to them. All right. It's all there is to it.
So
Some
basically, what he's saying then is, as these apostles are going to go out into the world and spread his word, the spreading of the word will be offensive to many and have repercussions.
Yeah, to
Well, it's
cause conflict.
the way it's presented.
Yes.
You've
Yeah.
got to tone it down for
Yeah.
certain people.
You can't
Yeah.
call them idiots, huh?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately, no. Some persons discern and interpret the golden rule as truly intellectual affirmation of human fraternity. Others experience this expression of human relationship as an emotional gratification of the tender feelings of the human personality. Another mortal recognizes same golden rule as the yardstick for measuring all social relationships, the standard of social conduct. Still others look on it as being the positive injection of a great moral teacher. The embodiment of this statement, the highest concept of moral obligations as regards all fraternal relationships. In the lives of such moral beings, the golden rule becomes the wise center and circumference of all their philosophy. So it means many things to many different people, right? All right. Rod, would you take this?
In the kingdom of the believing brotherhood of God-knowing truth lovers, this golden rule takes on living qualities of spiritual realization on those higher levels of interpretation, which causes the mortal sons of God to view this injunction of the Master as re requiring them so to relate themselves to their fellows that they will receive the highest possible good as a result of the believer's contact with them. This is the essence of true religion, that you love your neighbor as yourself.
But you don't force your own beliefs and values on your own, do you? That's not loving. Right? Okay, now, what you take from this?
But the highest realization of the truest interpretation of the golden rule consists in the consciousness of the spirit of the truth, of the enduring and living reality of such a divine declaration, the true cosmic meaning of this rule of universal relationship is revealed only in its spiritual realization, in the interpretation of the law of conduct by the spirit of the Son to the spirit of the Father that indwells the souls of mortal men. And when such spirit-led mortals realize the true meaning of this golden rule, they are filled to overflowing with the assurance of citizenship in a friendly universe, and their ideals of spirit reality are satisfied only when they love their fellows as Jesus loved us all, and that is the reality of the realization of the love of God.
So that means that we don't have to worry about all these aliens invading the world, do we? That would not
Right.
be the spirit we're talking about. That's not part of the golden rule. All right, Gary, what you took from next?
The same philosophy of the living flexibility and cosmic adaptability of divine truth to the individual requirements and capacity of every son of God must be perceived before you can hope adequately to understand the Master's teaching and practice the non-resistance to evil. The Master's teaching is basically a spiritual pronouncement. Even the material implications of this philosophy cannot be helpfully considered apart from their spiritual correlations. The spirit of the Master's injunction consists in the non-resistance of all selfish reaction to the universe, coupled with the aggressive and progressive attainment of righteous levels of true spiritual values, divine beauty, infinite goodness, and eternal truth, to know God and to become increasingly like him. Boy, that was a deep paragraph, and I could have drowned in that.
Yeah, you really could. And to become more godlike and to become increasingly like him changes your own personality. I mean, really, it has to. But
How's it this?
we're not built to do that automatically, right?
Yeah, what's he mean by non-resistance to evil?
Non-resistant, in other words, we don't want to fight with evil, we want to show evil the better way. Okay? So it's not a battle against evil. People think we're always battling against evil. In reality, we're trying to enlighten evil so that they can understand there's a better way. It's a
That
big
evil is the ignorance of the Father's will.
well, yeah, exactly. Love and selfishness must undergo a constant and living readaptation and interpretation of relationships in accordance with the leading of the Spirit of truth. Love must thereby grasp the ever-changing and enlarging concepts of the highest cosmic good of the individual who is loved. And then love goes on to strike the same attitude concerning all other individuals who could possibly be influenced by the growing and living relationship of one spirit-led mortal's love for another citizen, for other citizens of the universe. And this entire living adaptation must of love must be effected in the light of both the environment of the present evil and the eternal goal or the perfection of divine destiny. So the divine destiny always has to override the present goal of evil, right? Which is very hard to do because there's a lot of evil stuff out there. All right, Rodney, would you take the next?
Okay. And so must we clearly recognize that neither the golden rule nor the teaching of non-resistance can ever be properly understood as dogmas or precepts. They can only be comprehended by living them, by realizing their meanings in the living interpretation of the Spirit of Truth, who directs the loving contact of one human being with another.
Interesting how they call it dogmas and precepts. In other words, that love cannot turn into dogmas, precepts in a certain way has to be. Dan, you take those.
And all this clearly indicates the difference between the old religion and the new. The old religion taught self-sacrifice. The new religion teaches only self-forgetfulness, enhanced self-realization in conjoined social service and universe comprehension. The old religion was motivated by fear consciousness. The new gospel of the kingdom is dominated by truth conviction, the spirit of eternal and universal truth. And no amount of piety or creedal loyalty can compensate for the absence in the life experience of kingdom believers of that spontaneous, generous, and sincere friendliness which characterizes the spirit-born sons of the living God. Neither tradition nor a ceremonial system of formal worship can atone for the lack of genuine compassion for one's fellows.
True, true,
That's
true.
isn't it a pity that that's what the original church turned into, right? It really is. Gary, can you read that okay?
I will try.
Want me to try to make it a little bigger?
Would you please?
Oops.
Okay.
Yeah, let me
Much
see if I
better.
can. Hang on. Hang on. No, that's the next word.
Oh.
Just, oops, it's not going to let me do it.
All righty. Flip it back,
Sorry.
I'll go for it. Okay. Six,
Okay,
the
try.
necessity for leaving. After Peter, James, John, and Matthew had asked the master numerous questions, he continued his farewell discourse by saying, "I am telling you about all this before I leave, you in order that you may be so prepared for what is coming upon you that you will not stumble into serious error. The authorities will not be content with merely putting you out of the synagogues. I warn you, the hour draws near when they who kill you will think they are doing a service to God, and all of these things they will do to you and to those who you lead into the kingdom of heaven because they do not know the Father. They have refused to know the Father by refusing to receive me, and they refuse to receive me when they reject you, provided you have kept my new commandment that you love one another even as I have loved you. I am telling you in advance about these things so that when your hour comes, as mine now has, you may be strengthened in the knowledge that all was known to me and that my spirit shall be with you in all your sufferings for my sake and the gospel's. I was for this purpose that I have been talking so plainly to you from the very beginning. I have even warned you that a man's foes may be those of his own household. Although this gospel of the kingdom never fails to bring great peace to the soul of the individual believer, it will not bring peace on earth until man is willing to believe my teachings wholeheartedly and to establish the practice of doing the Father's will as the chief purpose in living the mortal life.
The chief
Won't that be
purpose.
wonderful?
It's the age of light and lightness.
Now that I am leaving you, see that the hour has come when I to go to the Father. I am surprised that none of you have asked me, why did you leave us? Nevertheless, I know that you ask such questions in your hearts. I will speak to you plainly as one friend to another. It is really not profitable for you that I go away. If I go not away, the new teacher cannot come into your hearts. I must be divested of this mortal body and be restored to my place on high before I can send the spirit teacher to live in your souls and lead your spirits in the truth. And when my spirit comes to indwell you, he will eliminate the difference between sin and righteousness and will enable you to judge wisely in your hearts concerning them. So the Spirit is our teacher, right? All right. Rodney.
And we cannot imagine how it was before the Spirit of Truth came,
No, because
because
we've
we were
always had
born
it.
into it.
That's right. That's why it's always
So
been there. Yes.
I have yet much to say to you, but you cannot stand any more just now. Albeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he shall eventually guide you into all truth as you pass through the many abodes in my Father's universe.
We're out of time. Do y'all want to finish this section? Got
Yeah, this is
16
pretty good.
paragraphs.
How much further are we?
Friend, we got six more paragraphs, so.
Okay. Whose
Who's
turn?
up?
Pam.
Okay.
You are.
This spirit will not speak of himself, but he will declare to you that which the Father has revealed to the Son, and he will even show you things to come. He will glorify me, even as I have glorified my Father. This spirit comes forth from me, and he will reveal my truth to you. Everything which the Father has in his domain is now mine. Wherefore did I say that this new teacher would take of that which is mine and reveal it to you.
It would be definitely he would be the teacher. Gary, do you take the notes?
Gary, me?
Yeah.
Okay. In just a little while, I will leave you for a short time. Afterward, when you see me again, I shall already be on my way to the Father, so that even when you will not see me for long.
Okay, he makes 19 appearances, and that's it, right? While he paused for a moment, the apostles began to talk with each other. What is it that he tells us? In just a little while, I will leave you, and when you will see me again, it will not be for long, for I will be on my way to the Father. What can he mean by this little while and not for long? We cannot understand what he is telling us. Right?
They were
Robbie.
only a few hours.
Yeah.
And since Jesus knew they asked these questions, he said, "Do you inquire among yourselves about what I meant when I said that in a little while I would not be with you, and that when you would see me again, I would be on my way to the Father? I have plainly told you that the Son of Man must die, but that he will rise again. Can you not then discern the meaning of my words? You will first be made sorrowful, but later on will you rejoice with many who will understand these things after they have come to pass. A woman is indeed sorrowful in the hour of her travail, but when she is once delivered of a child, she immediately forgets her anguish in the joy of the knowledge that a man has been born into the world. And so are you about to sorrow over my departure, but I will soon see you again. And then will your sorrow be turned into rejoicing, and there shall come to you a new revelation of the salvation of God, which no man can ever take away from you. And all the worlds will be blessed in the same revelation of life in effecting the overthrow of death. Hitherto, have you made all your requests in my Father's name? After you see me again, you may also ask in my name, and I will hear you."
That's why all prayers end in Jesus' name, right? Right. Yeah.
Down here, I have taught you in proverbs and spoken to you in parables. I did so because you were only children in the spirit, but the time is coming when I will talk to you plainly concerning the Father and his kingdom. And I shall do this because the Father himself loves you and desires to be more fully revealed to you. Mortal man cannot see the spirit Father, therefore have I come into the world to show the Father to your creature eyes. But when you have become perfected in spirit growth, you shall then see the Father himself.
Stand in paradise, right? Gary, you take the minutes.
Even the 11 had heard, what well, excuse me, when the 11 have heard him speak, they said to us, "Surely the master did come forth from God, but why does he say he must return to the Father?" And Jesus saw that they did not even yet comprehend him. He's frustrated. These 11 men could not get away from their long-nourished ideas of a Jewish concept of the Messiah. The more fully they believed in Jesus as the Messiah, the more troublesome became this deep-rooted notions regarding the glorious material triumph of the kingdom on earth.
Right.
Okay.
Next time, we'll read the final admonitions of the Lord's. Right.
So we're still at the Last Supper.
Yeah, we're still at supper. So, right. All right. Share. And who's up, man?
I am.
Sally forth, Sally. Pam
Yeah.
Rather.
Prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By this same faith, I became a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universe of Nebadon, as Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth, Amen.
Oh, man.
Amen. And thank you for joining us, everyone. Kept you over about 6 minutes, but I think it was worth it to finish this paper. And we'll see everyone on Thursday, right?
Sounds good.
Sounds
Thank
good. All
you.
right. Y'all have a
Love you
great night.
guys.
Love you guys
Love
too. See you
you.
later.
I'll see you all.
Bye.
Take care. Have fun.